Old Testament, there's a lot of application in the Old Testament. A lot of people don't want to. I think it's very exciting seeing the Lord moving in the midst of his people, Israel, back there. I think there's a lot of things you can learn. So in the book of 2 Kings, you're going to go there. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24. Let's just start here, and I'll go through some things here, and we'll see how far we can get today. This is starting verse 24. This is a battle going on here, and we have a spiritual battle going on today. And a lot of times, there's a physical battle and a spiritual battle. There's a lot of similarities between them. You know, see the way the Lord works, even in the midst, is pretty amazing. Here in verse 24, it says, "And it came to pass after this." Now, what after this was another story, but I'm going to get into that a little later because it comes kind of blends in here. That Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his hosts and went up and besieged Samaria. Now, this is 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24. 2 Kings, 6:24. Second Kings 6:24, right? 2 Kings 6:24. And it came to pass after this. Okay. All right. No problem. Maybe make a different Bible. I don't know, whatever. But okay. So here what happened is, back in the old days, you go after somebody, they would besiege you. And what that meant, that's real important, because they'd basically cut you off from the outside world, so to speak, and you couldn't get out of there. They sat there sometimes for months and even years, just waiting for them to starve them out. They look at them and they intimidate them. And so when you besiege someone, you surround them, hostile troops, a tactic of war. And as we did here, and obviously, Syriac didn't like the Jews, obviously, and they besieged them. And what happened is they use fear, they use food and finances. Now, you'll see later on, finance wasn't a big deal, because what good is having finance if you get in the buy with it, right? So, but they were using food and fear. It says here in verse 25, "And there was a great famine." That's what happened when you besiege a city. "And beheld, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver." Now, no offense, but man, this stuff you wouldn't give a nickel for. It would be a refuge. And when people were thrown away in the garbage cans, they're buying. Imagine how hungry you are. Think of that. You're buying dove's dung to eat. That's pretty bad spot to be in. And I don't know how many of you have ever been real hungry in your life, but you know what? When you're hungry, that's self-preservation, man. It's, you know, I'm starving. You know, you haven't eaten 4 hours. I'm starving, right? Well, try, you know, maybe living on water a little bit here and really start getting hungry. A lot of people do a lot of strange things, you know? "And as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall," he cried, "there cried a woman unto him, saying, Help, my lord, O king. And he said, If the Lord do not help thee, where shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press?" Now, it's interesting here. Here's some ladies that you'll see who had some troubles. And they're going to their leader of the city. When you have a problem, the first thing you always want to go is to the King of Kings, Lord Jesus Christ. So there's always a first place you want to go to. We have today, through a lot of news media, they're trying to get the governments to be your kind of provider. That's what socialism is. And look into us. We'll take care of it all. Don't worry about them. And, you know, that's the system they have here. And they're always trying to get your eyes against God and the Lord and where to go. So that's very important to understand that. "And the king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, This woman said unto me, Give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow." Now, hang on a minute. That's pretty scary. I mean, you're so hungry, you're eating your own kids. Now, think about that. I mean, we read this thing, and when we got to put it here, show you the situation, the desperate situation that folks are in. They're eating each other's kids, literally. And that's going to happen in the future. You know, this story, by the way, it likens it to a picture of Israel in tribulation. You know that. A lot of these stories here are a picture of something's going to happen in the future. And so that's what's going to happen here against the war. So you'll see a lot of similarities. It's a lot of practical principles here for the believer here, now today, which I'll get into a little bit, and also for the Israel and Jew in tribulation. And I think personally, when we're out of here, God's going to open up the Israel eye real brightly. Just pour out truth on them. Remember, okay, now, and they're going to, these stories are going to come to life. I mean, now God's dealing with Israel again. And they're gonna. These things are gonna be. Wow! Now I see what's happening. Anyways, so the lady says. So we boiled my son, and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, give thy son, that we may eat him. And she had hid her son. That's a pretty bad spot when you're eating your kids. And yeah, we eat yours first. You know. Yeah, that's a typical person. Oh yeah. Let's eat ourselves, but you go first. You know, notice that. And then she hid hers. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes, and he passed by upon the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. I mean, here you are, the king. King's like the mayor of the city, and he's besieged, and he's seeing what's happening where they're eating, and now they're eating their kids. That's a very desperate spot. You know, a lot of times during when someone besieged them, what they would do is say, okay, folks, whoever wants to come out first, we'll spare you. And you went, though, and when you're in a war, you're real careful about people that are cowards. Back in the Old Testament, even in our days, if you retreated, they shoot you or in the back if you're running away. Because you know why? That's panic and bad situation, and that can spread their people. So they're, hey, want to come out? Come on out. And people had a chance to come out. But then they didn't. They say, we're gonna, you know, take a lot of people for slaves. Back in the Old Testament, that's how people became slaves. Oh, it's illegal. They had wars, and you're allowed to take individuals, and they became the slaves. And God had rules for them. People don't realize that, you know. I mean, you know, a lot of times they're taken by force. They're a part of, when you get a city, you spoil the city, and you get the gold and the silver and all things. And a lot of people became the slaves, you know. But God, you know, had rules for them and so forth, let them go and so forth. But that's what a lot of people did. Sometimes they kill the men, and then that, you know, real brutally. Then it says here, then he said, God, do so and more also to me, if the head of Elijah, the son of Shelpeth, shall stand on him this day. But Elijah sat in the house, and the elders sat with him, and the king sent the man from before him. But ere the message came to him, and said unto the elders, see ye how the son of a murderer hath sent to take away my head? Look, when the messenger cometh, shut the door, and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him? Now, interesting thing is here, this king, what he's doing, he's kind of blaming the prophet, you know. They're having a meeting, and he's kind of blaming God. A lot of people blame God for things that happen. That's a very dangerous spot for believers to be in, you know. Something bad happens, and what they do, they get mad at God. Don't do that. I mean, and if it is, make sure it's a very short time. And they get mad at God. They fall out of church. They fall out of fellowship. You know, something bad happens. And, well, God allowed this. Very, very common in the church. You know, all people, you know, they were believers. They were saved for a while. And something happened, fill in the blank, and they get mad at God and never see him anymore. It took a long time to get back in fellowship. So be careful blaming God. And that's why God gave you his word. When you see how the Lord worked through all situations in the scripture, you'll know he'll figure it out, and he'll end well. And that's why a lot of believers, people have been around for a long time, say for many, many years. We should be a good encouragement to the younger folks, because you want to know, God is faithful. Amen. He is just faithful. After 20 or 30 years, how long are you saved? What a better thing to tell you, God is faithful. Matter, you might have felt, but make sure you point to the Lord Jesus Christ and brag on him. So here the king was seeing all this going on and was not happy. Of what is going on here. And while he yet talked with them, behold, messenger came down that the king sent unto him and said, behold, this evil is of the Lord. What would I wait for the Lord any longer? So obviously, he's just, someone's got to be blamed. You know what though? What did Adam do? Blame Eve, the woman that you gave me. Remember that? I mean, it's always a blame game, right? Oh, it's not there. Oh, blame it on somebody else. It's never your fault. It's somebody else's fault. It's very tragic. Okay. Then Elijah, verse 1, hear ye the words of the Lord. Now mark that down. Hear ye the words of the Lord. This is the first time in the Bible you have this word saying, hear ye the words of the Lord. That phrase appears 23 times in Scripture. First time you hear it right here. And when God says something, you can count on it. So here's what Elijah is going to say. That thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. That's a bold statement. I mean, here you are in a tremendous amount of turmoil, Christian, right? And like, how in the world is something going to get worked out? Well, this prophet said something. We have the word of God today. And that would seem like an impossibility. I mean, they're boiling kids, eating dove dogs, cat brains, and tomorrow we're going to be completely better? I highly doubt it. But watch what happens. Then a Lord on whom hand the king lean answered the man of God and said, behold. And he called him Lord. That was a servant. It wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, many lords, it was his servant. Behold, if the Lord would make windows, remember, then a Lord, small L, that's a servant. And here is L, large L, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, or the Lord of heaven. Lord would make windows of heaven, might this thing be? And he said, servant, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. So here's a guy already questioning God's word. And he goes, hey, you'll see it, but you won't partake. So he's prophesizing what happened at the end. Guy dies later, you'll find out. But hey, there he's got. Be careful questioning what God says. Many people spiritually will die questioning God's word. I mean, hey, what though? Believers, they just question God's word, and what though? They become spiritually inept. That is they have the head knowledge, but they have no heart knowledge, and they can't be used. Verse 3, and there were 4 leprous men at the entering in the gate, and they said to one another, why sit ye here until we die? So what's happening here is, obviously, the gate was locked, but in the Old Testament, the lepers were kind of castaways. So they're probably sitting in front of the gate. Here, the Samaritans probably didn't want to deal with that, a bunch of leopards. They were diseased, so forth. We ain't dealing with them. So there they are sitting in front of the gate. They couldn't go in. They probably could have let them in if they wanted, but they were sitting outside the gate, and Samaria didn't want to deal with them. So here they are sitting there. Why sit here if we die? They know it's a bad deal that way there, and probably a bad deal here. Look what he says. If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine in the city, it shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die. Kind of, you know, rock and a hard place, amen? Now, therefore, come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they say, save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall die, but die. So here they, what a spot to be in. I mean, the old saying here, rock and hard place, they were it. We go in there, there's a bad deal. We say, here, we're going to die. There's the enemy. maybe they'll spare us. Sometimes they've done that, you know. By the way, look always who the Lord's using. Here are four leopards. Oh, yeah, there are four leopards. You never know who the God will use. He can use you. I'm saying, if he used, you know what, though? Here's if this big guy got saved. Look what you do with this big fancy guy or big wealthy guy. Hey, don't. God uses the small things, the base things in life, right? So here's four lepers, generally what the world back then would call the outcast. You know, four lepers. Verse 5, and they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians, and when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. So they decided to go to the camp, there's no one there. For the Lord had made the host of Syrians to hear a noise of the chariots and the noise of horses, even the noise of a great host, and they said one another, lo, the king of Israel had hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come unto us. Now, what's interesting is, if you look at a lack of time, verse or chapter number 6, starting verse 17, here it says, and Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open the eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountains was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. Those people are still there. Get that? There's a spiritual, he saw the spiritual side of the war. And then what happened? The Lord just manifested them right here and goes, hey, let's make a little noise here and scare the bejeebers out of them. They bailed. I mean, they bailed. I mean, gone. They were gone. And the Hittites in the Old Testament was a real kind of a wicked people. I mean, they would do some bad things to you, man. You're sitting out there. Remember, you're besieging somebody. And then you got the Egyptians were known for being fierce. So somehow the Lord not only made this noise to put a bunch of fear in them, but in their mind, they put some thoughts. These are the Hittites, the Egyptians, and they bail out of here. Very, very scary. Therefore, they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. They're bailing. The Lord is fighting the battle for his people here. That's something we ought to understand that. A lot of times, especially if, I'm going to take care of this. And sometimes, the Lord gives you responsibility to manage some things, when we do some things. But you know what? Sometimes when God helps those who can't help themselves, amen? Right? I mean, that's salvation, of course. But you know what, though? Hey, man, there's no way I could do this on this earth, and I'm going to trust in the Lord. And sometimes, you know what, though? That's where he deals with you individually. It's the little things a lot of times in life that gives you a little bit of grace, understanding, increase our faith. I really just trusting the Lord in this matter. Fill in the blank, whatever your matter is. I'm gonna trust the Lord in this. And what though? Hey, that guy's trusting in me. I'm gonna do something. And a lot of times when the Lord does things, he does it in a way you never think of. Because your wife, if you thought he'd do that, then get the glory. When he doesn't answer prayer in a way you don't think of it, like, wow, how about, and that way he did it. Is a lot better way than you thought. Amen? That way you know, wow, how did that thing work out? That's why, for me, I don't even want to think how you're going to figure it out, because I may have a good way, but if I thought about it, I ain't doing that way. So I say, Lord, you figure it out? I don't want to hear about it. And hey, wow, it worked out. The Lord worked all that deal out, oh, man. That's where your personal relationship with the Lord grows stronger and stronger. The most important thing that you and I have is our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He deals with us all individually. And it's great to have these truths and principles, but when you see how he deals with you individually, that's where you, hey, I'm growing. And then, if you're worrying, complaining, hey, wait a minute here, you're not growing. You gotta grow. Okay, so, wherefore they rose, verse 7, in twilight, and it left, even the camp was gone, and they fled for their life. They're running. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into the tent and did eat and drink and carried hence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it. They have too much. And came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. These guys, you know what happened? Uncle Joe died and left them a farm, amen. Think about it. All that stuff was there for them. Raiment, silver, gold, food. They just thought the world. I have a verse here. It says, look here. The Lord has already working behind the scenes. The Lord can put thoughts in minds of people. Daniel 2:29, I'm going to give you a scripture on that verse. Oh, as for the Lord, for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed and should come to pass hereafter, and he shall reveal secrets, make it known to thee what shall come to pass. So many times, in the Old Testament, God put thoughts in your minds. Well, today he gives you some ideas. Hey, that's of the Lord. So the Lord does that. Then they said, verse 9, one to another, we do not well this day. Is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come that we may go and tell to the king's household. What a great principle here. These four leopards got all this benefit. And what happened? After they kind of did some things, they said, hey, wait a minute here. This is way good. What good tidings mean? It means good news. Hey, for our church age, don't we have good tidings, right? You know what I mean? And what though? And you know what happens? Hey, I'm not going to sit here on my hands. I got salvation, all these benefits. It's a good principle of telling others. I mean, none's better than sitting down with someone to listen to you, amen, and be able to show them from the scripture their great Savior. And these guys got all these physical benefits. Clearly, they knew the Lord right here got it for them. Hey, we're going to go tell others. Great, great, great principle here. Very, very great principle. Verse number 10. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were. And he called to the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. So obviously this is right nighttime. And it came to, and the king arose in the night, see it, and said unto the servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry. Therefore, are they gone out in the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. So the king's first thought was, hey, this is a trap. You know, hey, we're gonna go out there and run and get the stuff. They'll be out there. We open the gate and they get us. That, you know, it's a trick of war. And remember, wait, so the king is still away from the Lord a little bit here. I mean, he heard the prophet Elijah, sent his porter, his Lord, to rebuke the prophet. But what happened? The Lord's using somebody else. You can be used also to influence a great person influence. And one of the servants answered and said, let some talk, I pray thee. Five of the horses that remain, which are left in the city, hold, they are all the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say that are even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed, and let us send them and see. Hey, if a dove's dung was sold for 10 pieces of silver, how much is a horse worth? A few people. And here this guy is going to put literally all the chips on the table. We have five horses left. Let's send them. Talk about betting it all. I mean, I would call that you're an all-in bet. I guess in poker, you know, hey, you're committed. It's all or nothing. That's what they're doing here. This guy says. And they took therefore, verse 14, two chariot horses, and the king sent after he host of Syria and saying, go and see. The Lord, and now the king's saying, hey, I'm going to give it a shot. Putting it all in line, all the horses going out there, all five, a couple of chariots, go and see. It's the last resort. And verse 15, and they went after them and into Jordan, and lo, all the way up was full of garments and vessels which Assyrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. Boy, ain't that good news? Can you imagine that? And the people went out and spoiled the tents. That's what they do in war. If you capture a city, you get the fruits. When we raided Kuwait, we had that right, that oil, you know. And so we risk all our lives, kind of in a war, maybe unjust or not. But if you get a city, you should get the benefits of it. That's what you do. I mean, hey, you know, but these are people put their lives on the line and families and resources. And if you get a city, you should get the spoils. That's just complete Bible. Okay, where was I at? And the people went out and spoiled the tents of Syrians, verse 16. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. There it is. There is that fulfillment of the prophet, exactly as he said. And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned, that's the guy he sent, to have the charge of this gate. So that his Lord, remember small R, it was his servant, and the people trod him in the gate, and he died as the man of God had said, who spoke when the king came down to him. So there's that guy, hey, you're now in charge of this. I said, no, I'm not going to have that, Lord says, and ran him over. Boom. Completely, completely gone. God used wicked nation to punish Israel and then punishes that nation for punishing Israel. God's has dealt with nations in the Old Testament, and God deals with individuals in our Testament. So here you have a God dealing with people on a national basis, and he deals with individually. A couple things to think about here. When God says will come to pass, clearly when God says something, it'll come to pass. When we look at the scripture and see how God deals with things, it's going to come to pass just like it says. And the next verse or next major thing on the Lord's timetable is what? The rapture of the church. Amen? And then he's dealing with Israel. It's exactly what's going to happen. He will use people, circumstances, and nations as he chooses. Amen? Hey, how about he use us? You know what, though? To be used of the Lord. What a great, you understand? What a great, hey, God chose me to use me. You understand that? You know what my personal sad thing is? You're a believer, you're saved, you know some Bible, and you're like, you're not even being used for anything. That's a sad thing because, you know, God left us here. Obviously, we can do better up in glory, be more holier and just, but God left us here. We are his plan. So do not doubt. Watch and wait. Titus 2:13, my favorite verses. Looking unto Jesus. Look, Titus 2:13. My memory's going. Looking for the blessed hope and our looking for that blessed hope, our Savior. Here it is. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That is what we're to do. And be busy telling others about our good tidings, amen? Just like God used these leopards in the Old Testament to find about the good things they had. And think about it. If they would have sat there and gathered stuff and left, that whole city could have been just, you know, ruined. But no, I'm going to use those people. They get a blessing. They went out, and I'm going to use them to tell the king to come out. The king put some effort behind it. Think about it. He put it all in line, those horses he had, all that was left. And he went, though, so there's some responsibility there, and it takes some resources to do something. Get that? And benefits will come. Rewards, inheritance, and crowns to the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's always the benefits, but God wants us to believe his word and do what he says. And this story in 2 Kings is outstanding. If you look through it, I was flew through it. There's a lot of truths here that you can apply to the church age today, to the believer today, and say, man, you know what, though, God put this here this in this a chapter and a half. A time where God was for his people and restored him. Same thing individually. You know, when we have a situation, trust the Lord. You know, hey, you know, keep a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and let God work in your life so you can see what he does and then tell others. Amen? That makes sense? Let's look at a little story here. When you read this here, ask the Lord to show you some things. And then how can I benefit from this story in the scriptures? Find yourself. Okay. We got a few minutes. Questions on anything or comments, suggestions? Okay. Yes, sir, Paul.